and welcome to episode 189 of Speak Beastie for October 29th, 2023. I'm Amy.
I'm Anne.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Marjolaine.
Yay! And we are in the depths of spooky season. And also Taylor Swift season, which is on its own way, I guess.
The 29th, the day this episode comes out, is when I'll be in the movie theater.
Nice.
You're going to have such a good time. It's so good.
I saw it like the second day, so it was very good.
I saw a 9:45 p.m. showing on a Saturday night, which was a terrible idea.
Oh, man.
Because it got out at, like, midnight 45. Oh, my God.
I think I started at, like, 8:30.
Oof.
Marjo's like, I don't care about Taylor Swift.
Marjo's like...
No, I like her. I'm not a huge... I don't know too much, but no, I... That's still a big thing in France too, but I don't think we have the concert in the theater though. So,
Is she planning to come to France? Maybe that's why.
Yeah,
maybe she wants the tour to go there first.
She's coming in May next year.
Ah, I bet you that's
May
it.
May and July. I'm googling that. Yeah.
Yeah,
to
because they don't want people to pay cheaper for the movie theater and not go to the live show.
I'm pretty sure the concert are already booked out.
I think so.
True.
Yeah, I was looking at the she's coming to Indianapolis. Like, I think in, like, September of 2024. It's already sold out. Forget it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. My friend and I missed out on Tampa tickets, so then she announced the Miami dates for next October, and we were there, we were ready, and we still didn't get tickets.
I missed MetLife, I missed Philly. There was no hope.
It's okay, yeah.
Well, anyway, this is not a Taylor Swift podcast. This is actually a Fantastic Beasts podcast.
What?
And in addition to Taylor Swift, we'd also like to give a shout out to our this week's Patreon supporter, Jemima!
Yay!
Could Thanks, not Jemima. Do this show without you and your support. I'd also like to give out one more shout out. Today is the day before my dad's birthday, so happy birthday to my dad. You're cool.
Happy birthday.
And I guess it's time now for our Phoenix Register.
And now a message from our sponsors.
Hey you, yes you, the magical cats and dolls waving your wands like bean shooters in a caper. Looking to be on the up and up about Newt Scamander, famous zoologist and world traveler? No need for gossip at the juice joint, just tune your ears to Speak Beastie. And now for as little as one dragon dollar a month, you can make Speak Beastie the Neasles Meow. Support the show at patreon.com and suddenly you're the big cheese, the real McCoy, with exclusive access to swell sneak peeks, bloopers, and behind-the-scenes features. But wait, there's more. Sponsors can also beat their gums at the joint with access to the Speak Beastie Common Room on Facebook. Now you're really on the clean sweep, flyboy. Get a wiggle on to patreon.com/speakbeastie to learn more about becoming a sponsor today. It's the Billy Wigs Knees and How.
So, maybe no Taylor Swift in Paris this month.
Not yet.
But I have other news for French people and other people who will be maybe traveling to Paris the next few months, because Mina Lima will be in Paris.
Yay!
So, not Taylor Swift, but still really cool. So actually, when this episode will air, the pop-up house of Mina Lima just opened October 27 at the Galerie Gallimard. So it's the gallery from the French publisher for Harry Potter and the Mina Lima stuff. So, yes. And it will be open until March 9 of next year. So, that's cool.
We've got time.
Yeah, that's not... at first, I was a bit afraid, like, it will be only 1 month and everyone will try to see it and it will be just crowded. But no, we have several months. So, yeah, I will... manage to see it when it will not be too crowded. Because I'm guessing if it's like the House of Minalima in London or in New York, it's not that big. So yeah, we'll see. But yeah, it's an exhibition of their work for the Potter series and Fantastic Beasts, and also the shop that goes with it. So you can be totally broke before Christmas, which is maybe not the best idea. But yeah, I can't wait to see it. I always love the atmosphere of the House of Minalima. So yeah, and having that just, yeah, next to, not too far from where I work, few days a week, it would be nice. Convenient to see it. And yeah, they did an exclusive design for the event where you see a Parisian landscape and where the shop will be. And yeah, it's always the Minalima cool design. And yeah, it reminds me of the time of Crimes of Grindelwald, because the last time that we had the Minalima exhibition in Paris, it was around the release of Crimes of Grindelwald. And they also did exclusive things during the time of the movies, the movie came out. So yeah, it reminds me of this good time. But that's not all. Actually, in the metro station Franklin Roosevelt, in line 9, to celebrate the 25 years of Harry Potter in France and the release of the Prisoner of Azkaban illustrated by Minalima, the station is fully decorated with huge reproduction of their illustrations. And I didn't... It's already set up. I didn't have the occasion, the chance to go see it, but I saw pictures from my friend who did the article for La Gazette, and it's really, really cool. So I'm going back to Paris tomorrow night, and maybe I will take an extra trip before going home to see it, because yeah, it looks really cool. So. And fun fact, this station is just next to the Grand Palais, which was the inspiration for the Ministry of Magic. So, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, I'm watching the TikTok on the Gazette du Sorcerer article now. This is gorgeous art.
Yeah. It's an illustration from the different, from the first three illustrated Harry Potter that they did. You have some from the first one, from and also from the last one who just got published.
I love the night bus piece.
Yeah. I don't have the Prisoner of Azkaban yet, but since I'm a collector of Prisoner of Azkaban edition, I'm really, really excited to get it soon. But of course, I think now that I know the House of Minalima will open in Paris, I need to buy it there and not in a in a random library, bookshop elsewhere. So yeah, that's a fully Minalima-centric news.
I love Minalima-centric news.
That's fantastic. That's so good.
That's all the news.
I also love how you say Franklin Roosevelt, Margo.
Yes, I was about to say, do I try to do it?
It sounds so much more elegant.
Or just how we because yeah, that's also how we said it when we take the metro there. So
I gotta look into why there's a Franklin Roosevelt station there.
I mean, yeah. That's very, very central. It's next to also to the... to the Champs-Élysées, to the Élysée Palace. So it's really very central. It's a very official center of Paris, with probably the American embassy is not far from there.
Probably has something to do with the World Wars, I would assume.
Maybe.
that's what I'm seeing, yeah, because Franklin Roosevelt was an ally to France during World War II.
Yes.
That's interesting. So we have no owl post.
Womp womp.
Sad.
Womp womp. Send us owls.
Send us your theories about why do you think that it's named after Franklin Roosevelt? What other presidents do you think French metro station should be named after?
Send your theories. Your Kowalski's half-baked theories.
Give us your theories why Newt Scamander should have. Pick your favorite metro system and tell us why he should have a station named after him. I think that we should rename, maybe Quincy Station here in Chicago after Newt, because, I mean, who really cares about John Quincy Adams anyway?
I don't even
know if it's named after him.
Or the old City Hall station that's in the first movie.
Yeah.
Which, interestingly enough, I read an article the other day about how they do tours of that station because it's not used anymore. But they do tours of it, and I guess it's, like, super exclusive, and people, like, line up trying to get tickets online, and, like, it puts you in a queue. And, like, the article was comparing it to Taylor Swift tickets. Where, like, it sells out, like, immediately, and they only two tours a year or something.
The film there.
Yeah.
That's how exclusive it is. All right. Well, let's go into our main discussion. I tried to think of a cool segue, and I didn't.
That's fine. You did great.
So, we are going to talk about theme parks today.
Woohoo!
Yay!
Yay!
So, for listeners who don't know, I work for a theme park website, WDW News Today, and so we mostly do Disney stuff, but we have a Universal faction. So, I know all about the Wizarding Worlds. I mean, I already knew all about them because I was a theme park person.
Which is probably how you got the job.
Yes. And I went to the first Wizarding World here in Orlando the first weekend it opened.
Wow.
I was one of the people who was in line for hours just to get into the land with my parents. So I've been there since week one. So, yeah, theme parks. I'm going to go over the theme parks, the Harry Potter theme parks that already exist, and then what is coming in the future.
So I'm curious, how often do you go to the Wizarding World?
I go a lot. I have a Universal Annual Pass, so I just go whenever.
Nice.
But I don't actually usually ride stuff in the Wizarding World because it has long lines.
Oh, yeah.
But I usually go eat in there. Fish and chips, you know?
So Amy has a question here. I'll go ahead and ask it. Who has been to which parks?
So I've been to the Orlando ones. I went to Universal Studios Hollywood recently, but I didn't go into the Wizarding World there because it's the same.
It's the same. Yeah, you're not missing anything.
I was like, I gotta do everything else at Universal Hollywood.
I've been to Orlando and Hollywood. Yeah, Hollywood doesn't compare to Orlando. Sorry.
Yeah.
Not as good.
I don't have the space.
Yeah, I don't like that I can see, like, Holiday Inns in the background. You know? It's a little weird.
Anne?
I have been to Orlando, Hollywood, and Tokyo. I lost my crown of having been to every Wizarding World in the world when Beijing opened.
Yeah.
We are talking about, we're going to try and hit Hong Kong Disney and Shanghai Disney in 2026. So we might try and fold Beijing in there as well. We'll see. It depends on how much vacation time I have.
And Marjo?
I have been to none.
Yet.
Yet. Yeah, and that reminds me that there are rumors about if one day Universal will open a theme park in Europe. And so, yeah, at some point we were expecting one in Spain, but still nothing yet.
Here's something interesting. Universal used to own a park in Spain, Port Aventura. That park, there was a rumor earlier this year that Universal was interested in buying that park back. Mm-hmm. Which they didn't build the park, but they owned it for a while. The park just went on sale. Like, that news just broke in the past few weeks. So Universal might buy it back, and I wouldn't be surprised if then they build a Wizarding World there.
Yeah. I mean, it's really surprising that they don't.
Yeah. I was wondering why I saw the rumor going back these past few weeks, but that's why, okay.
Yeah. So, who knows? But yeah, let's dig into it. So to go over what already exists, we've got the Wizarding World of Harry Potter - Hogsmeade. In most places, this is just called the Wizarding World of Harry Potter because at most parks, it's the only one. But so Hogsmeade was first built at Islands of Adventure, which is one of the parks at Universal Orlando Resort, not to be confused with Universal Studios Florida, which is the other park in Universal Orlando Resort. So they built it at Islands of Adventure, and then it also exists at Universal Studios Hollywood, Japan, and Beijing. So all versions of Hogsmeade have the little Hogsmeade village. Harry Potter and the Forbidden Journey is the ride in Hogwarts, and then the little family roller coaster Flight of the Hippogriff, which at Islands of Adventure was a reskin of the pre-existing Flying Unicorn ride, which was part of the Lost Continent land. Harry Potter took over half of the Lost Continent land. Mm-hmm. And then you've also got the Ollivanders experience in every version of Hogsmeade, because you have to have Ollivanders.
You have to.
Even in Hogsmeade, which...
Yeah. Doesn't make sense.
Why not? Maybe at some point Ollivanders decided that London was too crowded and he needs some quiet.
They need a second branch, you know?
Exactly. I think that's how it's, like, presented, too.
Yeah.
So, also at Islands here in Florida, we have Hagrid's Magical Creatures Motorbike Adventure, which I actually
love
haven't ridden yet.
Oh my gosh, it's so fun.
I need to ride it.
I rode it once, and then never again.
I'm just not a big roller coaster person. I never rode the previous coaster, which was Dragon Challenge, which was a reskin of Dueling Dragons, which was also part of the Lost Continent.
See, Shannon, I'm not a roller coaster person either, but I forced myself to go on Hagrid's because I was there, like, the week it opened, and waited in a ridiculous line that was supposed to be 4 hours and ended up being 8 hours.
Yeah.
Didn't eat, didn't drink. It was great.
It's not worth an eight-hour wait. Like, it's a good drive, but it's not worth 8 hours.
It is not. I forced myself to go on it because at that point I was like, I've been in this line for so long. I am not getting out now. I'm not a quitter. I'm getting on this ride. It doesn't really bother me. I think because it's so smooth. Like, other roller coasters I can't do because I can't do, like, the shaking and the jerky movements.
Well, it's so new.
Yeah, it is so smooth. Like, it's fast. It's really fast, but, like, it doesn't... Even on the first drop, I don't really get the stomach whoop. Just, I think, because it's so fast.
Well, I am going to Universal later today.
If I can do it, you can do it. Like, I'm the biggest roller coaster baby ever.
See if my sister wants to do it with me. I mean, I know she wants to do it at some point, too. I don't know if she'll feel like it today, but...
And yeah, they really inflate the wait time on it, too, because sometimes you can hit it when it says, like, 50 minutes, and it's really, like, 35.
Yeah. So Hagrid's only exists here in Florida. And Dragon Challenge had only existed here in Florida. There were a lot of issues with Dragon Challenge / Dueling Dragons. Because it was two coasters, and people would throw stuff at each other.
Yeah, not good.
But, so I think that's why eventually they were like, I think we need to close this ride. Although, at Epic Universe, which we're going to circle back to, they are building a new dual racing coaster. But, so then there's also the Tri-Wizard Spirit Rally, which is where students of Beauxbatons and Durmstrang come out and perform. And there's also the Frog Choir. And I believe those happen at most versions of Hogsmeade, but maybe not all of them.
No, they definitely happen in Osaka.
Yeah. Japan, earlier this year, introduced their Magical Creatures experiences. And, like, a hippogriff encounter where a full-on hippogriff comes out on the little Triwizard Spirit Rally stage, and I'm very jealous.
Oh my gosh, the pygmy puff.
It's amazing. Yeah, so they've got people, you know, performers come out throughout the land with pygmy puffs and little dragons and nifflers. And, you know, it's all like practical puppets. And it's amazing and cute. And I'm very jealous.
So cute.
Yeah.
Because, of course, Japan has that.
I mean, they also have, like, walk-around dinosaur encounters in the Jurassic Park section. So this has a precedent.
Universal here has a Velociraptor encounter, but it's like you have to wait in line for it.
This is like walk-around dinosaurs. Like, a Stegosaurus passed within feet of me, and I started crying because that's my favorite dinosaur.
The Japanese version of Hogsmeade, they also have the Black Lake as part of the
It's beautiful
architecture. Which there's like kind of a lake here in Orlando, but it's just like, I mean, Islands of Adventure is built around a giant lake. Not a pre-existing lake, a man-made lake, but so then the, you know, it's got all the like Hogsmeade shops, and then the Three Broomsticks is the main dining venue in Hogsmeade, of course. So that's my kind of Hogsmeade overview. So it was the first one, and so it's the one that continues, has been built at all the other parks, but then we'll have Diagon Alley, which only exists in Florida. But first, those of us who have been to Hogsmeade, what are your favorite parts about it? Or Marja, what would you most look forward to, or what would you want to see in Hogsmeade?
You didn't talk about Hogwarts, but I guess...
Well, yeah.
I want to see Hogwarts. But, I think the Hagrid's Magical Creatures Motorpack Adventure looks really, really cool. And I saw videos of it, and... in terms of attraction, of rides, it will probably be the thing that we'll love the most. But I really want to eat in the Three Broomsticks. That looks so cool. So that's the two things that I would be the most excited to do, is going to the Three Broomsticks and riding the motorbike adventures.
Yeah, I'll say, in regards to Hogwarts, they did a really good job of, like, you know, you're walking through Hogwarts is the queue for the ride.
Yeah, that's the queue really that I'm most exciting for.
Yeah.
The ride itself is not my... I'm not a huge fan of big screen things, but, yeah, the queue is what I would be excited for, yeah.
I think the really... nice thing that they did with the Hogwarts queue is that they really designed it as, like, you don't have to ride the ride.
Oh, yeah. You can take the chicken exit. It's great.
I have to tell a story. One time, my dog is really excited about this story. One time, my sister and I were in the queue. And once you get into Hogwarts, because there is, like, an exterior queue if they need it, then people tend to stop a lot inside. We were going through, there's a classroom section where they do these incredible, like, hologram projections of the trio.
Mm-hmm.
We're walking through this section and then suddenly realize that there's a couple, two women and their friend, who hopped over the queue fence, and I don't recommend doing that, but they did it in the classroom, and they were getting married.
Oh my god!
And they did a very quick wedding with the trio behind them, and then hopped back in the line, and we all are like, I guess we're clapping? What?
Wow.
So, someone get married in Hogwarts. That was crazy.
That's crazy.
I mean, that's the place to do it. Especially if they timed it right so that Ron made it snow right at the end.
Aww.
It might have been at that part. It was wild. They were like wearing little bridal veils.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So what is everyone's favorite Hogsmeade ride?
Ride, I mean, I haven't ridden Hagrid's, but I mean, probably Harry Potter and the Forbidden Journey.
Yeah, I'm gonna agree with that, because I have ridden Hagrid's, and I couldn't deal with the, like, spoilers, I guess, if you care about, like, ride spoilers, but the part that goes backwards,
oh,
I felt my soul leave my body.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I would have to say Forbidden Journey, too.
Mm-hmm. I did have to spoil myself for it beforehand, because I am extremely arachnophobic.
Oh, fair enough.
So that's like, I had to read a full description of the ride beforehand so that I knew when to close my eyes. And that happens to be when they take the ride photo.
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
So I'm always just there with my eyes closed.
Oh.
Just waiting to hear Harry's voice again. Like, let me out.
And then I have a very Hufflepuff question.
Okay.
Your favorite Hogsmeade food?
Recently, my sister and I tried almost all the Butterbeer products.
Oh, nice.
In a day. But they ran out of the Butterbeer, butterscotch pastry treat thing. But they have this like butterbeer pudding thing.
Yes, that is so
good. I actually
good.
Don't remember. I think it must be at Three Broomsticks and Leaky Cauldron.
It's the exact same food. The potted cream.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's really good.
That's good.
That's relatively new, I think. I mean, like, it might be a few years old, but it wasn't there at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys have an answer?
For a meal, I really like the Cornish pasties from the Three Broomsticks, because it also comes with a nice big salad, and, like, if you're on a theme park vacation, you know, at least for myself, I end up feeling super bloated because of all the fried food I'm eating.
Yeah.
So it's kind of nice to have a salad at one of the meals, and the little, like, light, flaky Cornish pasties with it. It's good. And then for dessert, I really like the ginger newts from Honeydukes.
Mmm.
Those are really good.
I think mine is tied up in, like, the memory of it, because when we were in Osaka, I got the barbecue rib plate, and it was fine. Like, it's theme park food. But I do remember just, like, we took it out onto the patio behind the restaurant, so we were overlooking the Black Lake.
Yeah.
And it was about, like, I want to say it was, in my head it was near sunset, but that doesn't sound right, because I think the park closed at, like, 6. Maybe I just want so bad for it to be near sunset. But it was a beautiful day, and we were having such a nice time. So that is my favorite food, because it's just so tied up in that wonderful memory of eating by the Black Lake.
Nice. And then final favorite question from me. There's so many details and just little things that you notice walking through the parks. What's a favorite detail from Hogsmeade? Like, it could be buildings, decor, that sort of thing.
I mean, so they have, like, an owlery outside that's just kind of like a big seating area next to the shop. And I think I just like seeing all the little owls in there. They're not real owls. I don't even know that they're, like, animatronic owls. I don't think they move, but, like, their eyes glow and stuff. And you hear them. And I like owls.
I like the little magic... And this is in Diagon Alley and in Hogsmeade, but I really like the little magic stops. I can't remember which ones are in Diagon Alley and which ones are in Hogsmeade, but I know one for sure is in Hogsmeade. I think it's Osaka only, but... It's right by the Hogwarts Express, and you cast a spell, and it causes a bunch of trunks to fly open and lights to glow from within the trunks. And
I think,
like,
that must be Osaka only.
Yeah.
That, my God, like, that moment, I felt like a wizard, because I pointed at a bunch of trunks, they flew open and lights glowed out. Oh my God, I'm actually magical.
I love the snowman. I don't know.
There's something so cute. About the snowman.
He's adorable. I have like the plush snowman version of that I put out with all my Christmas stuff every year.
Is it the snowman from I don't know which movie? We have it's with the little hat and little scarf.
Yeah.
I
think and like the stick hair.
Prisoner of Azkaban.
Yeah, super cute.
He's so cute. Yeah, I didn't even mention the interactive wands. You can buy interactive wands and interact.
And they work if you buy them at any park, they'll work at any other park, because Chris and I brought our wands from Orlando to Hollywood and Osaka, and we were able to use them no problem.
Nice. Yeah, so there's like,
and they repair them. Map. If they get chipped, they repair it for you.
Oh, they do?
For free. Ooh. Yep. Wow. If you just take it into any of the Ollivanders and you say, the tip of my wand got chipped off, can you repair it? They'll, like, replace the little sensor thingy.
Nice!
Wow.
No,
that's
you mean they'll repair the magical core.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
And they won't just replace the RFID sensor.
So, moving over to Universal Studios Florida, let's go to Diagon Alley.
Yay.
Which, not to jump ahead to favorites, but this is my favorite of the two lands.
Amazing.
I love Diagon Alley so much.
I think Universal learned a lot about capacity and how popular Harry Potter was going to be, and sight lines. You go into Diagon Alley, you can't see anything.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of Diagon Alley. I mean, so they start with London, which Universal Studios Florida is all like the sort of lands are different real cities for the most part. And then there's Springfield, which is the Simpsons. and then the Men in Black ride, which is World Expo, which is just the Men in Black ride now. But so it's London. And so you've got the night bus parked out there, and that's where King's Cross is, because they built the Hogwarts Express for Diagon Alley, and so they built a station over at Hogsmeade, so you can take the Hogwarts Express back and forth if you have a two-park ticket. And that is an amazing ride and also an amazing piece of transportation back and forth between the parks. Because they're right next to each other, but it's still a long walk if you don't like walking.
Well, and it's also, like, both Harry Potter sections are all the way at the back of the park.
Yes.
So you have to walk all the way back up to the front of the park, through City Walk, all the way back to the back. It's a whole thing.
Which, depending on the wait for Hogwarts Express, can still be faster.
Fair enough.
But, like, so, if you don't want to walk, then...
So, fun story time. The last time that they had celebration of Harry Potter,
R.I.P.
Was that the last time? I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we had this whole plan. I forget what exactly was happening, but there was something that was happening in Islands. But we wanted to get there like right away, but Islands opened later than Studios did. So our plan was to go into Studios, book it to the Hogwarts Express, get on the train, like the first train ride that they would run, and be dumped right at the back of Islands where we needed to be. So we did that. We ran into Studios, got to the train, and they put up a little sign that said, "We're not running the Hogwarts Express until such and such time."
No!
No!
They thwarted us. We had to turn around and run back out to City Walk and run around to Islands. We're like, they knew! It's terrible.
Well, so, I mean, Hogwarts Express might be my favorite, like, quote-unquote ride between the two. And so my tip for people, for Marjo, is you have to ride it both ways. It's different both ways. You know, it's just, you're on a train and there's, like, a window and then it's, like, the frosted glass doors. And so you see stuff out the window and you see silhouettes. But yeah,
and you hear really bad knockoff Hermione.
Oh, the really bad Hermione. Now that the Hermione is terrible, but the rest of the ride. I remember riding it with Michael, and we were like, they should have hired Michael for
this. They really should have.
They should have hired anyone else.
Anyone. I don't know how. She doesn't sound anything like Hermione. And it's weird because it is Rupert Grint, and like, so he sounds right, but she doesn't. It's weird. But Hogwarts Express is great. So the London section is right next to the lagoon of Universal Studios Florida. So that you can see the rest of the park. But then you go through, you know, there's multiple, like, entrances. It's not just the one, like, brick wall, and it's not a huge effect, but it's kind of a little tunnel thing, and they play the sound effects of the bricks moving. You know, practically you couldn't have a, like, full magical reveal of the brick wall into Diagon Alley, yeah. But they did their best. And then, yeah, it's just you're in Diagon Alley and nothing else exists. So there, the main ride is Harry Potter and the Escape from Gringotts, which is obviously in Gringotts, which has the dragon on top who breathes fire, and we love her. And then they have in Carket Market, which they made up this other little street that goes off to the side. They have a stage where Celestina and the Banshees perform, and that's amazing. She's amazing. And
then love her Tales Christmas of the Beetle of the Bard.
Yes.
The Celestina Christmas show. They need to sell all those songs on iTunes because I would buy it.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're on Spotify.
I don't know. Maybe they will this year, though, because they just put out the Islands of Adventure soundtrack.
True. So then they have Tales of the Beetle of the Bard. Tales of the Beetle. which is, like, you know, students who do the, like, they have these incredible, like, puppet versions and do the Deathly Hallows story. And the puppets look like the animation that was in the movie, which is, so cool. I think, one of the best sequences.
Oh, it's beautiful.
So that's really cool. So you have to make sure that you see those, which they don't have, like, times posted, like, at the stage for them, or for, over in Hogsmeade for the Triwizard and Frog Choir. They don't usually have times posted, but
I think it's in the app. I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
So you can catch them. And there's some, like, with Celestina, there's some audience interaction and stuff. It's fun. Because both the stages at both sides are, like, they're very low stages, and it's just, like, you crowd in the street. And then they have, off on the other side, Nocturne Alley, which is the darkest place you've ever been in your life.
Yep. I remember I was there for 19 years later, and mm-hmm. I was chatting with a cast member who was hanging out in Nocturne, and she was like, yeah, I come in here when I need a break because it's so hot in these costumes.
Oh, yeah. It's very nice and cold in Nocturne Alley, but if you're me, you're walking around with sunglasses, and then you walk in Nocturne Alley, and you're like, where am I? So obviously they have all of the shops and they have Gringotts, and there they have the Leaky Cauldron and the Hogshead. They have the interactive wands. They have, like, a little Gringotts side bank thing where you can go in and, like, talk to an animatronic goblin. Because they tried to do the thing where, like, you can exchange your money and get Gringotts gold and spend that instead, but nobody does that. They just go in and stare at the goblin. But, yeah, and all the shops, well, maybe not all the shops, but a lot of the shops have, like, not necessarily interactive things in them, but things that move, you know, seemingly magic stuff. Mm-hmm. That's cool to watch. So in, like, Weasley's Wizard Wheezes, they have this little Umbridge toy that unicycles across the ceiling. In Quidditch quality supplies, that's what it's called. They have, like, you know, posters of Quidditch players flying around and stuff. So, that's Diagon Alley. I really like it. I'll say already, my favorite Diagon Alley detail is when they decorate for Christmas. Mm-hmm. And they have, like, themed wreaths for every store.
Oh, cute!
And they have all these facades for stores and businesses that they don't, you can't actually go in. Uh-huh. But they have, like, the Daily Prophet, and that wreath is made up of, like, the letters that would be in a printing press. And that's my favorite.
I love that. My favorite detail... I really love Wiseacre's, the store.
Oh, just yeah.
Going in and looking up at all of the different, like, instruments and things that are decorating the shelves up there, I just think it's so cool. Mm-hmm. Like, telescopes and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's really pretty.
I really like the magic spot at Wiseacre's, too, where it has, like, the night sky and the constellations and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I saw videos of it, and it looks so cool. That's also the place that I really want to see. But
yeah,
I think compared to Hogsmeade, where there is places that I want to go, Diagon Alley is more the atmosphere. It looks so immersive that I just want to hang there and go to the shops and enjoy the show. And yeah, that's just... the Gringotts ride is probably cool, but that's not... Yeah, just being in Diagon Alley, that's what would excite me.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I love just getting an ice cream at Florian's and sitting on those stairs next to Gringotts and just watching everyone's faces when the dragon goes off.
And the ice cream looked great. I mean,
it's so good.
Yeah. I was like, wow.
I will say that. The one... like, problem with the Diagon Alley design is that, like, the dragon breathing fire is so cool, except then there's just a ton of people standing in the street with their cameras and phones up waiting.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, guys, I need to walk through here, like, because it's kind of random. I don't think it's not a set, like, oh, every 2 minutes she breathes fire, you know?
Yeah.
I'm sure it's not truly random, but... But also you can usually tell it's like she kind of grumbles first.
Yeah.
So it's like, you can get ready. You don't have to stand here.
My pro tip for Diagon Alley is watch the Celestina Warbeck show or watch the Beetle the Bard show, whichever is first. Then go get an ice cream from Florian Fortescue's. Come back to the stage. Eat your ice cream, enjoy the vibe, and then you'll have a front row seat for the other show. Mm. And, like, just sitting there between the two shows, eating your ice cream, enjoying, just being in Carket Market, hearing the music. I always say that, like, it made me feel like a Ministry of Magic employee on my lunch break. And this was just, like, that really is, isn't that what you want? You want that feeling of immersion that, like, this is just my everyday life. This is just what I do.
Yeah. So I put in here favorite Diagon Alley ride, but really there's only one.
I guess you can count the Ollivander's experience as a ride too, but...
True.
It is an attraction.
True. But what's everyone's favorite Diagon Alley food?
The ice cream. I mean, because there's so many good flavors, and you can do the soft serve, or you can do the hard serve, and they let you do two different flavors in a cup.
This is very true. What's the best ice cream flavor?
Ooh, the clotted cream is really good.
Yeah, the butterbeer is good. I really like what the flavors are. It's like strawberry and peanut butter. That one's really good.
Oh, that one's good.
And the Earl Grey and lavender. That one's really good too.
I feel like there's like a spicy one, right?
Yeah, there's something with like chili or something in it.
Yeah, because I feel like Chris got there when we were there. chocolate chili. Yeah, that is really good.
Oh, yeah. Good combination.
Which, like, I've had...
usually like chocolate with chili or with spices. I like this combination. So, yeah.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's really
nice.
Yeah,
like, they have candy bars that are like that I've had. I've not tried that ice cream yet, but yeah. So, talking about food, has anyone had the chicken sandwich at the Leaky Cauldron?
No.
No?
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So, sounds crazy, right? Because you're looking at the menu and there's all these great things on the menu, and then there's just chicken sandwich. But the chicken sandwich is so good. It's amazing. I order it, like, every time I go. It's got, like, this special sauce on it. It's got tomatoes. It's so good. It's the magical chicken sandwich. I don't know what they put in it, but it's so good.
Chicken, so, I hope.
I want to share my ignorant American tourist moment with you guys.
Okay.
So, I first went to Diagon Alley in 2014, and then I went to London in 2015. And in London, an actual King's Cross, I looked around and I said to Chris, it's like, it's just like a Universal.
I'm
sure all the people who were just like actually just catching their trains home or whatever were just like, ugh. Freaking Americans.
All right, well, let's move on to our third Wizarding World, coming soon to Epic Universe, which is the third Universal Orlando theme park. I'm gonna sneeze, maybe. So Epic Universe is scheduled to open in 2025. They have not confirmed anything about it. They've confirmed they're gonna have Super Nintendo World. But nothing else. The very interesting thing about that is that, like, there's this great aerial photographer, Bio Reconstruct, on Twitter, who just goes and takes pictures of the construction site, and it's like, we can see everything you're building. Like, how have you not confirmed any of this? Like, you look and you're like, that's the statues from How to Train Your Dragon, and they're like, we don't know what you're talking about. So... we basically know that they are building a Wizarding World, and it's inspired by Place Cachet from Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald. But the rides, the attractions and stuff is more rumors because, you know, you can't see what they're building inside. But the ride is supposedly going to be the British Ministry of Magic, even though, yes, it's the France Diagon Alley, but we'll get to that.
So weird.
So I did link in here, Orlando Park Stop has an Everything We Know About Epic Universe Wizarding World, which, yes, technically they are my competitors, but they made these like maps of over the concept art and some of the like construction blueprint things of what is going to be in Epic Universe. And if I was going to make that, I would just be copying them. So I was like, I'll link to them. So yeah, Ministry of Magic Dark Ride, and then there's going to be a theater show. So we do have on Universal Parks News Today construction updates with BioReconstruct's photos, so you can go look at construction and stuff if you want. But Epic Universe is really being built as like the lands are very enclosed, like Diagon Alley, which is great. And Super Nintendo World is like that too. Who's been to Super Nintendo World?
I haven't been yet.
You haven't been yet. I went to Super Nintendo World at Hollywood. It's amazing! And I don't care about Nintendo or Mario or anything. But so, it's gonna be very much like Super Nintendo World and Diagon Alley, where all four IP lands are going to be enclosed and you like enter through a portal and stuff. So they are building recreations of some Parisian landmarks. Hold on, I'm gonna go pull up the the names so that I'm not saying them wrong. Okay. Well, Marjo can tell me I'm wrong, but Port Saint, the Port Saint-Denis. Denis?
Saint-Denis, yes.
Yeah. So that's going to be at the entrance. So that's a real archway in Paris. So they're building a replica of that. And so that's one of those things you see in the construction photos and you're like, guys, I know what you're building.
Yeah,
I can see that.
I think it might have been cut from the movie, but we got a shot of Queenie in the street of Paris when we see the Port Saint-Denis in the background in the trailers. But I'm not sure we have the Port Saint-Denis in the final movie.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's gonna kind of be London in front of Diagon Alley, where you have this little Parisian section and then you go into the magical section.
Yeah, and to be fair, it's a Parisian architecture. We have several of this type of building in Paris, so it works.
Yeah. Well, and so that's the very enclosed aspect, I think, is interesting because it's like that's how all the lands at Epic Universe are going to be, but it's even more so for Place Caché, because that's what Paris is. It's very tall buildings, narrow streets, and so it also seems like they're going to have a recreation of Montmartre and the Basilica, or not the full Basilica, but like a tower of the Basilica in the background. So that's a very thin street for people who don't know. That's kind of the architecture. I mean, it looks very Parisian when you look at the construction photos. It's like, yeah, that looks like Paris. Watch them just suddenly be like, it's not the Wizarding World. We just wanted to build Paris. There have been lots of like patents and trademark things. The trademark stuff that has come out is mostly not Harry Potter related, probably because they already own all those trademarks. So I don't really have stuff about that here, but we've seen like contractors they've hired are people who've previously worked on the Wizarding World, which, you know, they would probably hire them anyway, but. So let's talk about the ride, Ministry of Magic. So back a year ago, in October 2022, not 2020.
I'm going to say real quick, listeners, yes. If you want to go in completely unspoiled, skip this section because Shannon's notes do say there's going to be spoilers. We'll say when the spoilers are over. Carry on, Shannon.
Yes, I'm going to tell you guys what this ride supposedly is. Well, and so I'll say that this was a year ago that these details were all revealed. So things have probably changed, but this is what we know about it. So it's going to be, you are in France, and then you are going to go to the British Ministry of Magic. So to do that, you go through the Flu network. Which makes sense. I mean, it that makes sense, but it doesn't make sense that this is the only ride, but you'll go through a giant, like, Flu network station that takes you to the British Ministry of Magic.
Which is awesome. I can picture this whole, like, intro thing to the ride just is
yeah.
So great.
Well, and you think, like, you already have built into the Ministry of Magic this huge set piece of the Flu network. So that'll be part of the sort of queue So then you go and you will get into the elevators, the lifts, and that will be the ride vehicle. So what is happening is you are going to see the trial of Dolores Umbridge. So it takes place right after Deathly Hallows. Which I think is such a cool idea because you don't know what happens to Umbridge, so...
Right. That's, like, so random, but I like it.
Yeah. So the elevators are kind of the ride vehicle, and for people who have been to Universal Parks, it's going to be similar to the Spider-Man ride, the Transformers ride, Jurassic World Adventure in Beijing. But I believe the plan is not for it to be 3D.
Okay.
I think it's going to be screens and sets the way the other Wizarding World rides are. Which is interesting. Forbidden Journey, when they built it at Hollywood, was 3D. But not in Orlando. But then they took out the 3D in Hollywood because, I don't know, it wasn't working.
I
think
like
it was making people
3D.
Motion sick.
Yeah.
It just looked not as clear and just blurry. Which I don't know if that's like a thing with 3D technology, if you have to like reconfigure it or something.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It just didn't look
hit
right.
Or miss. I think it doesn't work well with the type of ride system of Forbidden Journey, which is like, for people who haven't ridden it, you're in these seats that are on a mechanical arm. I think it would work better for this type of ride system, which you're in a car. Because it works fine on Spider-Man.
Yeah, and it seems okay on Gringotts, too.
Yeah. This whole, like, breakdown of what the ride is going to be is from Screamscape. They have a whole page of Epic Universe updates, so if you scroll down or just search for, like, Umbridge, then you can find their full breakdown. So, you are traveling in the elevator, and guests will ride along and enter various rooms in the Ministry and pass through the chaotic magical battlefield as shown through both projection and real world animatronic effects, because Umbridge is trying to escape. And as Screamscape writes, if I understand things correctly, Umbridge wants to open a portal back in time to when Voldemort was all powerful and bring that version of Voldemort to the present in order to take over the Wizarding World.
So like some cursed child stuff going on here.
Death Eater's trying to free Umbridge. I don't know if that is still the story. I think it could just be Death Eater's trying to free Umbridge and not the whole trying to open a portal to Voldemort. So I don't know what it's going to end up being, but...
Like, I'm no Imagineer. I don't know good thing. This is stupid. That's real dumb.
Now, there will be magical beasts. And this is the important part. There will be an Irrumpet audio animatronic.
Yes.
That
Yay!
Chases you as the car moves backwards. At least this is the rumor.
Why would there be an irrelevant in the Ministry? I'm confused.
I don't know. I don't know why they're there.
I hope we get to see like a really old nude going, come back! Like chasing after it.
Yeah. Screamscape also says some kind of fire-breathing chicken creature. which is a creature that I can't remember the name of now. Hold on. Oh, just fire-breathing chicken is a creature. That's why. All right. Arthur and a Ministry person discuss. They have a fire-breathing chicken in the Ministry. Okay, so that does kind of make sense. So then it all comes to a head when Dolores thinks she has the time turner she was seeking out in hand, only to realize that Hermione has done something to it. I'm not sure if she created a fake one or put a curse on a real one, but in the end, Umbridge will see her plan fall to pieces and literally slip through her fingers and find her obnoxious pink garb transformed back into prison black and white stripes as she is apprehended once again. So yeah, it's a chase through the ministry, being attacked by Death Eaters. Creatures are also there. I don't know why, but it sounds like a good time.
To be fair, the French Ministry of Magic would not be that fun.
Okay, you say that, but the canceled ride.
Which I'm really mad about.
All right, real quick, spoilers for the Ministry of Magic ride are over.
Yes. We can try to put those timestamps.
I will put those in the show notes.
The show notes, and I'll try to not mention those things again. So, there was another ride planned. And then they canceled it, and I don't know why. Well, okay, so it was a virtual reality ride, which I don't love virtual reality rides, but it was a flying broomstick ride with Newt in Paris, in the French Ministry of Magic, trying to stop an Obscurus. And that's the ride.
Do you know how long I've wanted a broomstick ride, like, just like, flying around?
Yes!
Why would they
and
cancel
I
it?
Understand, like, the type of ride where, like, you have to sit on something like that, like you would sit on a broomstick, which is... We've had other rides like that, like the E.T. ride, you're on a bicycle seat. Tron just opened at Disney, you're in a, like, motorbike kind of seat. Those mm-hmm. aren't very accommodating for everyone. But yeah. if there were two rides, there was the Ministry of Magic ride and also the broomstick ride. But whatever.
So it was cancelled, but it was not in the place of the Ministry of Magic ride.
No.
It was a separate one got just cancelled, yes. But we don't have anything replacing it, and we don't know if they always meant to have Umbridge in the Ministry of Magic.
It was always going to be the two rides. This one, mm-hmm. you were going to enter through the French Ministry of Magic facade, which they are still building, and there's still going to be space back there for expansion, but there's no plan to build this ride anymore.
Okay.
But there could be another ride in the future.
Yeah. Or something that's not a ride.
Yeah.
So we will have the ministry, the British ministry ride. We will not have the French ministry VR broomsticks with Newt. Now, I will say it would not have made sense to have a ride with Newt and also a ride with Umbridge.
Yeah, I was thinking because the Wizarding Paris that we know, it's the Wizarding Paris from the 30s, so...
Yeah.
The 20s, I don't remember. The late 20s, but mm-hmm. yeah, it was a specific style, so I don't know if they will keep that or... Yeah.
I feel like they're gonna, like, model it after that, but it's gonna kind of be like, but this takes place in the 2000s. But it looks like the 20s and 30s until you get to the British Ministry of Magic. But I very highly doubt that they canceled this ride just because of the timeline. I think they probably canceled it because of money.
Like, I'm looking through the Orlando Park Stop article, and it says that it would have had 144 broomstick pods, groups of 24 guests at a time, and, like... You think about how often Rise of the Resistance breaks down. Think about how often Flight of Passage breaks down. This would have been an absolute logistical nightmare.
Yeah. So it's a shame, but I don't know. Maybe someday.
Well, hopefully.
So then we're going to have a theater show that is you enter through the Circus Arcanus tent. So... I don't know if Circus Arcanus is still running in the 2000s or if we're back in the 20s and 30s, but you enter through the Circus Arcanus tent, and so it appears to be a small tent outside, and then it will be much larger inside because magic, so that's fun. permits indicate that it's going to be a 5-story theater.
Wow.
Whoa.
Stage at least 642 seats. And now, you know, I don't remember which article I copy-pasted this from, if it was from Screamscape or Orlando Park Stop, but it was like, we don't know what type of story or show, and I'm like, well, it better be Circus Arcanus. But there are rumors that it's going to include some sort of wand battle, and that there might be audience participation, which makes sense for... Lots of theme park shows have audience participation of some kind.
Yeah, you got to get the little kids up on stage with their wands so that mom and dad can record it.
Didn't they just have that patent, too, for, like, the wands that could cast spells at each other?
Yes.
Like, a couple years
ago? And so there have been rumors around that it's going to be a new type of interactive wand sold and that you can interact with the land. But it could also be...
Yeah. I wonder if that has to do with this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe.
So I could see it being like a Circus Arcanus show that goes wrong and then there's a battle. Mm-hmm. That's kind of my thought.
Maybe like the audience is trying to free the beasts or something.
That'd be cool. Or Newt comes in. She's trying to free the beast.
And actually, even if the rest of the park, we are not sure in which timeline we are, the fact of having a circus in Paris, it works in any timeline because we have the Cirque d'Hiver and the Winter Circus that in Paris it works since the late 19th century and it still works today. So even if the show evolves with the time, I mean, it's still a circus show. So
yeah. So then we're gonna have a wand shop, of course. And this is a wand shop that is seen in the background in the movie. Marjo, would you like to pronounce the name of this shop? I can say
the wand shop, right? Yeah. So it's Baguette Magique de Comme Acajor.
Magic Wands of Comme Acajor.
I mean, yeah, I guess it's Comme. You can say Cosme, but yeah, I think it's Comme.
I think that's going to be really interesting because I bet a lot of people are going to think they sell bread.
I mean, I was skimming through the dog earlier. I was like, oh, there's going to be a baguette shop. All right.
Yeah. I bet there will be some sort
magic
of pastry
baguette
shop.
That's hilarious.
I hope there's stuff with cheese.
They should have a, like, Jacob Kowalski branch.
Yes. Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
So there also will supposedly be 2 quick service restaurants, which is pretty wild because the others only have one. But that's great. It's Paris. You gotta have food.
Yeah.
And then there are rumors.
Yeah, you can have like a savory thing and a pâtisserie and
Oh yeah,
for sure. I mean, there's gotta be a pâtisserie. So then the big rumor is that there are going to be magical creatures throughout the land, sticking out of windows and interacting with guests and responding to interactive wands.
That's cool!
That feels very much like a thing that they could at some point be like, we don't have money for this anymore, so we're not doing it. But fingers crossed. Because I think they're going to do something similar with the How to Train Your Dragon land that's also... being built is the plan is to have some dragons around. So fingers crossed. I mean, this is the Fantastic Beasts land, except Umbridge is also there.
It's the Fantastic Beasts plus Umbridge.
Yeah, I'm wondering how they will manage the promotion for the park, since they have to promote a land about a franchise that is have no news about.
Right.
So
yeah, well, and you look at, like, you're driving around Orlando, the billboards are all just pictures of Daniel Radcliffe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, oh yeah,
sure. But...
and I don't think the trio is gonna be in this land.
Yeah
Which could be why they put the Ministry ride as, like, in the Harry Potter timeline, because maybe they're just gonna market this as Harry Potter.
But I don't want this land to be, I mean, the Paris land, the Wizarding Paris to be Umbridge land. That sucks.
I wouldn't be surprised if they do something similar to what is on Gringotts, where it's like, oh, the trio's there, but
they don't talk. Kind of, it's fine.
Yeah, just Rupert Grint talks because he's the only one who came back, you know? But I don't know. It'll be interesting. I'm really excited for this, for the potential for this show.
Yeah.
Whatever it's going to be. I think just in general, having a like, proper theater show, because you have the little shows in Diagon Alley and Hogsmeade. But yeah, I think this is going to be great, and I want a baguette now. So that is everything I have on the theme parks. I'm curious what that is not already in a theme park or is not rumored to be planned would you want in your ideal Wizarding World?
So we already said Kowalski Bakery, so we need that.
I have three rides that I would love to see in a future iteration of a Wizarding World theme park. The first one is a dark ride, like a dark boat ride through Newt's Case.
Yes.
Where you get to see all the different biomes, the different magical creatures that are animatronics, and like, I don't know, maybe if you wave at them, they like react to you. Like if you see the hippogriff, it like bows to you. And I think that would be cute. And now just like really soothing in all ages. Family ride for everybody.
With the music and, oh yeah, that would be so cool.
Wouldn't that be great?
I love the idea of a boat ride in general.
Yeah.
I would like to see a stunt show, like an Auror's stunt show. They basically like Waterworld, but, you know, there's more people pointing sticks at each other. And, you know, something goes wrong and they have to, like, fight off Death Eaters or whatever. And then the last one would be similar, I guess, to the VR broomstick ride, but nothing's going wrong. It's like Soarin', and you're taking a tour of various wizarding places around the world.
That'd be nice.
Yeah,
for me, I still want the broomstick ride. I've wanted it for years. I hope maybe in the future they figure out a way to do it that works. I also think it'd be really cool to do like an underwater ride, like at the Black Lake. Because you could, like, have the mer people and stuff. Like, I just think that'd be really fun. I don't know how that would work, but it'd be pretty cool.
And I mean, you could do, like, they've got 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea at Tokyo Disney Sea. That's underwater.
Right. Like, it could be, like, a mixture of, like, dark ride with screens.
Yeah.
But then, like, I also think about, is it Finding Nemo at Disney that has, like, the windows and there's screens, but then there's real fish behind it? Like, that'd be pretty cool. Yeah, I don't know.
I rode the Finding Nemo submarine voyage at Disneyland when I went to Disneyland. And so that was a reskin of 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, which was I don't think that was an opening day ride, but maybe it was. Horrible. Hated it. I was so claustrophobic, and it was like, I was really getting to the point of like, oh my god, I need to get out, but there's no way out. So, just something a little less claustrophobic than that would be nice.
Yeah, I was thinking about how we could include the Chilling, maybe like a Meet the Chilling with a puppet or something like that.
Oh my god!
Yeah.
Japan would do that.
Yeah, that'd absolutely
be really cute.
I just want what Japan has.
It could be like a whole experience, kind of like Ollivander's, and it bows to somebody in the crowd, like picks them.
And they get like a little pin that says
so
Warning or something.
A little chill pin.
Future leader.
Like, all right, kid, you're going to be president
of the world.
It's been decided now at this Orlando theme park. Go fulfill your destiny.
That's our discussion of theme parks. Thank you for coming with me on this journey.
Thank you.
And coming with me to Epic Universe in 2 years.
Yeah,
Beastie meetup.
We'll be there in maybe not opening day because that's a lot of crowds. But
Shannon will be there opening day.
But like, I don't know, maybe the rest of us will be there like maybe like 2027, 2020. Yeah. It's always in 2025, right? Okay, so maybe like 2026, 2027, once the crowds have died down a little bit.
Yeah.
Sounds like a plan.
Dive into the Newt case.
We shall.
Yes.
So this week for the Newt case, because it is spooky season, we are talking vampires.
Ooh.
A lot of my information comes from the Harry Potter Wiki and Wikipedia, so thank you to them for being my sources. Vampires are undead, generally humanoid creatures that maintain their existence by feeding on the blood of living beings. The book Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them is silent on the subject of vampires, possibly because they're guys and not animals. They are categorized as beings by the Ministry of Magic and defined as dark creatures. A quote from the Daily Prophet, a lot of this information comes from the Daily Prophet fan newsletters that were published by Scholastic in like the mid to late 90s.
They
describe a vampire as being an evil creature that roams the night, feeding on the blood of living beings, cannot go out in the daylight.
That's judgmental.
I know, so they minus the feeding the blood part, like also me. So I'm feeling kind of judged right now. Very little is known about vampires in the actual wizarding world. We know that there was a breach of the International Statute of Secrecy in 1749 that involved them. Gilderoy Lockhart claimed to have left one only able to eat lettuce. In 1920, the New York Ghost ran a story called Love at First Bite, The Unlikely Tale of a Vampire. In 1996, Eldred Warple thought it was a good idea to bring a vampire to a party full of teenagers.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
There are several notable vampires who have gotten their own chocolate frog cards. For instance, Carmilla Sanguina, who bathed in the blood of her victims to maintain her own youth. And, like, I'm going through these names, I'm like, her last name was Sanguina. Was her mom like, oh, I know what this girl's gonna do. Carmilla. Yeah, Sanguina. She has one destiny.
I can see that vampire can, because they are immortal, so maybe at some point they decide to change their names to fit their vampire persona. That's like, true. Maybe her name was not at all Sanguina. At some point she was, yeah, I need a more suited name.
She was like, hang on, I need to make sure people know what they're getting into.
People are like, what? You're a vampire? And she's like, I told you my name on the first date, man.
Look, I'm not Betsy Smith anymore, okay?
And I don't know why, but Carmilla sounds so much like a vampire name. I don't know if it comes from a...
It does. Stories.
We'll get there.
Okay, we'll get there.
Yeah. Herbert Varney preyed upon women in 1880s London until he was killed by a group of ministry wizards from the Department of Regulation and Control of Magical Creatures.
Whoa.
And there's also Blodwyn Blood. Again! What?
B-L-U-D-D.
Who is a Welsh baritone who sings to his victims. Again, like, he had to have changed his name because the Harry Potter wiki name...
The spelling
He's
is
Welsh,
hilarious.
So that could be pronounced anyway.
That is true.
It's probably pronounced like Harry Potter. Like,
the last name Bludd is actually pronounced like Bluff. So it doesn't even make
it's
sense.
Worse.
Sure.
And finally, Amario Lestote. Who wrote a vampire's monologue for the purpose of boring his readers to the point where they were easier to bite.
I get the reference there.
That one's like, okay. That's...
Amario Lestote was an American vampire who was born in 1776, as all Americans were. And
that actually, that's true. Isn't it?
July 4th, 1776.
That's our collective so birthday. There is also a Society for the Tolerance of Vampires that is housed in London. One of the requirements to get a job there is you have to tell your blood type. So it very much sounds like a "we're not vampires, it's fine" kind of situation.
Nice.
Vampires outside the wizarding world mostly seem to stem from Eastern European and Greek folklore, like the Albanian, and I apologize in advance to our Eastern European listeners, please write in and correct my pronunciation. The Albanian Striga, which is a vampiric witch that drinks the blood of infants before turning into a bee, a moth, or a fly and flying away. The Greekalakas, an undead creature that eats livers and is possibly what a werewolf turns into after it dies. So now we know what happened to Remus Lupin.
Oh. No. Refuse that.
And the Romanian Strigoi, which forms much of the basis for the modern day vampire. It can become invisible, turn into animals, and gains its own life by drinking the blood of others. The image of the aristocratic, pale, gaunt vampire comes from the early 19th century publication of The Vampire by John Polidori, later boosted by iconic queer novel Carmilla, which is what you were thinking of, Marjolaine, by Sheridan Le Fanu, that was in 1872, and then Dracula by Bram Stoker in 1897. The exact
etymology... I have a fun fact about how you say
it? Yeah.
In French, I don't know. But do you know that some kind of owls, they have different families of owls, and one of them, Latinist scientific term is it comes from there. Because they are creature of the night with big claws, so
Wow!
Yeah, I knew Striga is a type of owl, but that I didn't. Cool.
So there is a link between owls and vampire. Even we think about the bats, but yeah, it's also connected.
Neat. Oh yeah, look at that, Striga. Fun.
Yeah.
The exact etymology of the word vampire is unknown. The best guesses are that it comes from the Albanian dam, which means tooth, and pier, to drink. Or
makes sense.
The Slovak repizza, V-R-E-P-I-T. Yes, comes from the Slovak word pizza, which means to thrust into, as the basis for the word ubir upior, ubir meaning someone who bites, and upior meaning witch. A person can become a vampire by being a witch. Having a wound that wasn't treated with boiling water.
I got step one down.
Well, this next one is pretty brutal because, like, you have no control over this. An animal jumping over your grave.
All right.
Can be enough to turn you into a vampire.
That's why we go with cremation.
Being possessed by an evil spirit or being bitten by a vampire themselves.
Yeah, happens.
You know, like, sometimes it'd be like that. You're just minding your business, and then, especially if you play The Sims, like, people who play Sims 4 know what I'm talking about. That Vlad just walks in.
He doesn't have to be invited in?
No, he just comes in!
Wow.
They actually had to set, like, enough players complained about it that they had to, like, set it so that you could, like, specifically lock your door against Vlad.
Oh my gosh.
If you would like to prevent someone from becoming a vampire, you can bury them upside down, leave gifts by their grave, or so they won't want to leave it, or sever their knee tendon so they can't walk.
Okay.
If it's too late, you can leave a bag of rice or a pile of poppy seeds by the grave of the suspected vampire, and they'll spend all night counting each grain of rice.
I've heard of that myth before, where it's like, vampires have to stop to count things.
Yeah.
Huh.
So okay. It's like, throw rice at them and they'll stop to count.
And they're like, no, I have to count all of these.
Yeah.
If you have a vampire problem, you can use garlic, spread mustard seeds on the roof, ward them off with a cross or other holy symbol, get on consecrated ground, or cross a river. Vampires cannot cross running water. For a more permanent solution, you can use a stake made of ash, hawthorn, oak, or aspen. There's also the option of burning them, pouring boiling water over the grave, decapitating the corpse, or shooting the coffin.
Shooting the coffin. Well,
that ought to do
it. You know what? I don't have any other way.
Let me get my shotgun.
I was born in 1776. With a gun in my hand.
And so to wrap up, I thought it would be fun to talk about who your first vampire was.
First one we met? Or
Yeah, you know, the first one that came in, that snuck into your bed. No, like the first one that really had an impact on you. I can start because my answer is going to not surprise anybody. I got into the Vampire Chronicles when I was probably too young to be reading them. Like, I think I was like 13 because I was a lonely goth kid growing up in Virginia. So then I read Interview with the Vampire, and that should not surprise anybody who has spoken to me for more than 10 minutes.
I mean, I guess it'd be my Twilight face.
Oh, God.
I can't think of any, like, vampire media I seriously consumed before that. So, I'm reading Dracula right now.
Nice!
I loved Dracula. I never really got into vampires. So, I mean, I guess I would just have to say when I read Dracula in college.
Okay.
Like,
okay.
I really enjoyed it. I actually read Dracula on the plane ride to go to Universal Orlando, just to tie it all into our main discussion.
Oh, nice.
I was supposed to be doing homework.
Mario?
So I was thinking, maybe the first movie that I remember that I was like, wow, vampires are interesting. That was Interview with the Vampire. I don't remember at what age I saw it because I was definitely too young when it came out. And so probably later, but I was a teenager probably. So yeah, but I remember after that actually there was a children animated TV show that I loved when I was a kid, and the name was Mona the Vampire, and but she's not really a vampire actually. that's a French and French Canadian show. So I saw, and it never it was there is an English version for Canada, but I didn't find any U.S. I don't think you know that this show, but
we were too busy watching Liberty's Kids 1776.
Yeah. It's true.
So yeah, but that's a very cute show and perfect for the Halloween season. But I was watching that all day, all year long, because there is a lot of episodes. But it's the story of a little kid, a normal girl whose name is Mona, and actually she has a wild imagination and she loves monsters and fantastic stories, and with her friends every time something happens in her life she imagines a monster or a fantastic reason for what's happening, and she has this persona of Mona the Vampire, so she changed it to this vampire outfit, and they imagine the little adventure against the monsters, and it's really cute.
Cute.
So, but that's fun because actually with this, it's really for small children, but you discover a lot of different type of monsters, and they are all connected to real folklore. So I think the vampires. Folklore I discovered with Mona the Vampire. So yeah.
Huh.
Good. Love that.
Well, that wraps up the new case. Happy spooky season.
Yeah.
All right, so our podcast question for this episode is, what do you expect from the Circus Arcanus show at Epic Universe? We'd love to hear from you, so drop us an owl on any of our social media outlets or email us at speakbeastie@gmail.com. You can also leave us a review on Apple Podcasts.
So you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at speakbeastie, on Facebook at facebook.com/speakbeastie, and on Tumblr, I guess, also at speakbeastiepodcast.tumblr.com. And you can also support the show on Patreon at patreon.com/speakbeastie, where you can find some exclusive content, some cool stickers and coloring pages and all cool stuff. And I will probably share pictures of the Minalima exhibition in Paris. Nice. As soon as I got the chance to see it. So yeah, it will be on our exclusive Facebook group and probably for all the Patreons soon.
Fun.
Okay, that's it for today's episode. I'm Shannon.
I'm Marjolaine.
I'm Anne.
And I'm Amy. Case closed.
I'll take the hour into a land with enchantment.